Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought?
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Live from the dystopian hell that is Los Angeles, California, it's Ignorance is Blast podcast. Please tell your friends about this podcast so it can make enough money for me to afford an audio engineer, because I keep restarting it and stopping it. And honestly, now I'm looking at the sound and I don't know if it's good. Anyway, I have a guest here and I'm just talking like this. My guest this week is my wonderful boyfriend who I love so much, Nate Dixon.
Hello, all you cool cats
okay.
And kittens.
You wanted me to okay, you guys didn't know he's like, let's restart. And that's because he said something else and then tried to do that in the last episode. So you literally just asked me to restart just so you could do that intro.
I want them to think this is my cool voice.
Okay. Well, let me just let everyone know it's not.
It's not.
But your voice is still really cool.
And I am a jazz singer in my spare time, whether the world knows it or not.
Yeah. Well, maybe let's keep that one tucked in. I've never heard you sing even a single note of anything. Now all of a sudden you're a singer. I've asked you to make music every week.
Well, singing in the shower is my passion and my pastime.
Oh, okay.
And let's start there. Showers. You don't do it enough.
Okay, that was rude.
I'm kidding. She showers every other day, every 3 days. What is it?
Fuck you.
She showers every day. I'm kidding.
I shower almost every day. Look. I'm gonna lie to my listeners. Occasionally, if I haven't worked out and I've sat there being a depressed sack of shit, and that's changed, I think, significantly, I'm far more concerned with showers. And this is not a good reflection of being a decent human, but now that there's ash in the air, all I want to do is shower all
there's
the time.
There's not ash in the air, but there also is ash in the air. I should let everyone know that.
There's no visible ash in the air.
Yeah, the clouds are not gray, and it's not Sweeney Todd outside.
Yeah.
But it is,
which is
invisible,
honestly,
Sweeney Todd outside.
I wish it was Sweeney Todd outside. At least it would fit. It's like fucked with your head.
That's true.
We've been back 2 days. We left Los Angeles for
10 days.
We evacuated. We weren't in an evacuation mandatory zone. I, however, have a dog shit body that can't handle anything. I have a strong lung, which is only... Okay, it's a reference from... Okay, if you're a Scary Movie 2 fan, think of that guy with the strong hands. That's one of my lungs. I just have shitty... I have an autoimmune disease. I have heart problems.
Yeah,
so
but
we
you
left.
You don't even have to over-explain that, because the reality is that everybody in Los Angeles should have left. And the reason why they didn't evacuate everybody is because that would cause mass hysteria, and people don't handle that well. But the reality is there's people who lost everything in fires. There's people who were in danger of their lives, and obviously
so
they
sad.
Were the first to go. But the truth being, the air everywhere is absolute dog shit, was way worse, probably is still pretty bad. We'll see. But people...
No, we'll see in 3 years when we all have cancer.
I mean, people think like what just where you see smoke, there's fire. But think about all the shit that is inside of your house right now. Chemicals, cleaners, deodorant, dildos, heroin, clothes, wall paint. A lot of these houses were old, had lead paint in them.
Asbestos.
Asbestos. Just all the fucking stuff in your house. And these fires burn so hot. Look at the photos of it. The houses are melted down into nothing, into a layer of quite literally toxic waste sitting on the ground. And all that stuff was released in the air. Tens of thousands of structures, cars, gasoline, rubber.
This is a good time for me to inform you guys. Nate may be on the spectrum.
I'm not on the spectrum at all, but what I am is a realist. You know, a wise man once told me, the pessimist thinks that the wind will never fill his sails. The optimist thinks that the wind will eventually fill his sails. The realist adjusts his sails into the wind. I am a realist, ladies and gentlemen, and Jessica is...
I can't afford a boat.
But I live my life by that. I have it tattooed on me.
I want you guys... Wait, are we allowed to talk about you maybe being on the spectrum?
I'm not on the spectrum. I also don't have that tattooed on me. But it is a good mantra, maybe? I don't know. Adjust your sails, folks. Adjust your sails. Speaking of sails, I'd like to bring up our sponsor, Nordstrom.com.
Shut up! I think I just blew out the speaker laughing. But can someone let me know if the audio is any better this week? Because everyone's let me know how bad it is the past 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
So speaking of sales, if someone could sail an audio engineer into my studio, that would be great.
Someone from Full Sail Institute, if you went
there. Oh, look at you. It's Full Sail.
Did I look at that when I was a youth in my teens? Yes, I absolutely did. Did I also, when I was 16, in a rock band, Smashing Puss? Also,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. I was quite literally still a virgin. But I was.
But I rocked on guitar and I had mutton chops.
I did, and there was girls who were into me, and I was too nervous to do anything about it.
How much do you think that is like the case for a lot of guys?
I mean, it's the case for every guy at some point. It's just a matter of when you take the plunge, quite literally, but it is always the case in your, you know, formative pubescent years. But I remember this one time. So I was in this band, okay, and everyone else in it was older than me. I was like in ninth grade maybe, and they were seniors. And so I was like a bad kid, and I was, you know, partying with these guys, and they're still my friends to this day, by the way. Some of them grew up to be very successful doctors. Some of them are dead, and some of them and some of them are.
Some of them are doctors. Some of them could have used a better doctor, to be honest.
Yeah, and some of them are like kind of losers, and some of them are just like regular guys. So
wait, because I know. You can't just say people are dead on this podcast. Horrible accidents, drugs?
It's up in the air. I mean, he was definitely on drugs, and supposedly he had went to...
So one of them are dead.
Yeah. Supposedly he had like went to the dentist or something, and then like a tooth infection went unnoticed and like went to his brain. And
that
like,
can happen.
I know it can happen.
Obviously.
But...
But he was also on drugs.
He was also on drugs, but supposedly he was clean. But he also came from like a really... wealthy, well-to-do family who was, you know, just kind of like visible in the community. And that's what they said on the back end.
Oh, you think like it could be like yeah. That happens a lot. Even if it's not a well-to-do family, it's like this denial of the situation or you're keeping up appearances of like, even if you're not a well-to-do family, people are afraid to say like, my son overdosed.
Right.
They always go... That was probably one of my overdosed friends coming in, flicking the lights. You guys can't see that because it's an audio podcast, but...
The lights flickered.
The lights did indeed flicker. They'll name like a... I don't want to say a symptom. I guess it is like a symptom of the overall issue, but it's like another health incident that occurred because of the overdose. An asthma attack. I remember when my brother overdosed, my mom was like, my son has rhabdomyolysis. And it's like, yeah, because he was laying on the ground... overdosing on one side of his body.
Right. And there and like, yeah, he died from a tooth infection, but he had meth mouth.
Yeah. Know, like, and while meth mouth is fun to say, and I will for eternity probably make light of horrific dark situations, I also do think there is a disservice in people doing that in terms of
awareness and
awareness of how bad it is. But even more so, it's like I think I've talked about this before, but like the shame of like talking to your family about it. Like it's so hard to come out as a drug addict, which it's like, which is so funny because they know you're not fool. If you're in the throes of drug addiction, no one's like, yeah, seems like he's totally fine. But
yeah, and
I think if people talked about it, if they more openly were like, it's so unfortunate he had an addiction, it might help people be able to admit that they have an addiction to people they love. Right. And get
and help. I should also be clear that he passed away like years later after the band had split up and he was kind of on his own.
Oh, he didn't ruin the band. Thank God.
Well, he did kind of ruin the band. It was different though. The drugs, like, yeah.
A drug addict ruined something?
Yeah, but they kind of, well, he started off as like a clean cut guy, like hadn't really done anything, you know, and it kind of like all caught up with him, but eventually we did have to kick him out of the band because he was like on drugs and like just being a weirdo, and then the band never quite like recovered. And I know everyone probably says this, but we're pretty good and we're ripping. And
everyone does say that.
I know, think. But like we were in like the Pittsburgh scene. If you're from around there, you might
Are you plugging your van from 20 years ago?
I know. I wish the internet was like way more of a thing because a lot of it
do and don't.
Like, well, I mean, it would have kind of like lived on. Like, I wonder if we could probably find, we had a MySpace, you know.
You found music for me once from your band, I think.
Yeah, and I think there might be like a MySpace page or something. I don't really know.
Here's what I'll do, guys. I'll have him look it up. If you're interested, I will put an audio clip of it in the Facebook group.
It was like kind of like screamo post-hardcore is what they called it. It was like, if you're a fan of Story of the Year, Thrice, bands like that, Under Oath, we were in the same vein.
He's agenting his own old band.
But we used to play with Fall Out Boy. They were from...
Excuse me?
Right up the road. Yeah, we played
Fall Out Boy was from Pittsburgh?
No, they're from Illinois. And
Illinois is right up the road from Pittsburgh?
But in the Midwest, you know, they were touring around the Midwest.
Right up the road means something else.
They were like doing club shows around the Midwest, and we would play with them.
Do you know them?
No. I mean, I've met them and like, you know.
But it was like in such passing. Yeah. It'd be like a feature I had in 2016.
There was this really great band that has ceased to exist, but they have gone on to do their own stuff. At the time, They were called The Receiving End of Sirens. Still one of the greatest albums to ever exist.
Receiving End of Sirens?
The Receiving End of Sirens.
Okay, for a second I thought you had spoken too fast and it was supposed to be silence and you went, accidentally had an Asian accent. The Receiving End of Sirens.
No, now I can't say it. Sirens.
Okay.
And the acronym TRIOS, people would call them TRIOS, T-R-E-O-S, The Receiving End of Sirens. And their lead singer went on to form another band called, I can't think of it right now.
The Smashing Pumpkins. I'm just kidding.
No.
That's going back in time.
The Deer Hunter.
I know Deer Hunter. Isn't there Deer Hunter and there's the Deer Hunter?
Yeah. And I don't know which one it is right now.
But I know there's two of them and both of them were relatively successful. And that's the only reason I know that.
Yeah. And his name is Casey something or other. And the guy is a fucking straight up phenom, like musical genius. Like the Deer Hunter. It's the Deer Hunter.
That's the Deer Hunter.
Yeah. And he.
Oh, yeah. They're from Pittsburgh.
No, they're from Boston, but same kind of thing.
I was like, Deer Hunters. Yeah, that makes sense.
And they were like touring around and we played with them when they were at the Receiving End of Sirens. And I was 15. We were smoking cigarettes. I'll never forget that. Like their guitarist, his name is also Nate. And I remember.
Nate played guitar. You guys should know.
I played guitar.
You're in a band. People are wondering, you know, you came in with that voice. You're probably like lead singer, obviously.
No. But our lead singer who died.
It was the lead singer?
Yeah. And
it's always the fucking lead singer.
He was extremely talented. Extremely talented.
What did his voice sound like?
No, but he had an incredible voice, truthfully. Like, it wasn't like punk rock shitty. He had great, like, range and.
Like Freddie Mercury? Like Foxy Shazam.
I mean those are two like very high bars to compare to, but
Meatloaf.
Maybe could have like been there with some like real training and stuff. He was just like flying by the seat of his pants, just natural ability, and he was excellent. But
weigh in if you think Nate should be making music with me. Okay.
And
I
remember I was 15 years old and I asked him if I could bum a cigarette and he gave me a Camel Light and I was like, that must be a cool brand. Cause he was like older. He was probably 23, you know, but
it's probably just what was on sale.
Maybe, but like he was like 23.
Camel Light.
And I just
sounds like a divorced woman in the South.
But I just thought he was like so cool. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to smoke Camel Lights.
You just copied him.
Yeah, and like
I think that's how most people get their cigarette brand is somebody they admire smoked that.
Right. And
that's why I got into math.
That became that became my brand. Anyways, so we were like playing with bands like that and I was really into music and
you wanted to be an audio engineer, right?
I was going to get there. Thank you. This is what happens on my day-to-day life. I try to say something whatever and she jumps in, interrupts me and tries to guess the ending. And in this case, she just gave the ending away. But in most cases, she tries to guess where I'm going with
it. Listen, you haven't been making eye contact with me the whole time.
That's because I have to stay in front of this microphone and I'm trying to make sure the audio is good for your listeners. I care about them, unlike you.
I love my listeners. They're all I have.
Then why was the audio shitty the past 2 weeks? Riddle me this.
Because weigh I'm not. In. Well, I don't know. Why don't you tell me, audio engineer?
Well, let me get to it.
I
so
blew out the speakers saying that.
I was 16 and I was like, maybe I can work in this business like somehow, you know? And so I... you know, discovered audio, like engineering. Well,
can I
back up first?
Okay.
My stepdad who gave me my first guitar.
Classic stepdad move.
Yeah. He.
Is his name Al?
I'm not going to say it, but it's not Al.
But my
real dad's name was Alex. Hurtful. He's dead, everyone. He was a great man.
No, Alex and Al are different. Al is like an Albert. Al.
True.
Yeah.
And
or just Al.
He and maybe my mom, but honestly, I think this was really my brother because he's the good one in the family. 1 year got me a gift. It was a Tascam 4-track that recorded onto cassettes. And
what is that? You can plug in your guitar or something?
You can plug in anything. It has four tracks. You can plug in...
Oh, did you keep that? I could use that. I only got two tracks on this thing.
Yeah, record it onto a cassette. That'd be really helpful for the internet.
The hipsters, they'd love it. And I'm mailing out cassettes. Yeah. Listen to my podcast.
Yeah, subscribe. $4.99 a month. You get a cassette in the mail. Remember Columbia Records?
They would let children sign up and then try to wreck your credit. You could get like 8 or like 12 albums for a penny.
Yeah. We also had this store called like Record-rama or something in Pittsburgh where you could like exchange CDs. Anyways, so they got me a 4-track and I was like, yeah, it was probably like 14, 15. And I started messing around with that, like recording myself. And then I was in this band and then I started like recording the band with this and I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. I was really enjoying it. And I was like, maybe this is what I want to do. I can like work in music and stuff. So there's this venue in Pittsburgh, if anyone's from there or if you've been there, it's called Mr. Smalls and it's an old church that they converted into a venue. It's owned by Liz Berlin of Rusted Root. She went away. Remember that?
Nope. I believe that it's memorable.
You don't know Rusted Root?
I don't know anything.
Well,
my mom listened to Rod Stewart on repeat in Manic episodes.
Honestly, fits the bill. Would love Rusted Root, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
And they bought this old church and converted it into a venue. And they had like the wing of the church where, you know, I guess like the priest would live and like maybe there was school or something. Yeah, I don't really know, but
they fuck the kids.
They converted all of that into like offices and a state-of-the-art recording studio that was like at the time one of the best in Pittsburgh. I'm sure it probably still is. And the head engineer there, his name was Larry, might still be, I don't know. I called when I was like 15. And I was like,
initiative.
I know. And I was like, hi, can I like music. Can you guys show me music? And they were like, he's like, yeah. He's like, come down and meet with me. So I went and I sat down.
Yeah, we got this fucking kid coming by. But
no, but now that I look back on it, like it was.
But this is a terrible job that nobody wants. So we got indoctrinated him pretty quickly.
When I like looking back on it, like it was all pretty rad. And like I went down and I sat down with him. I told him. You know what I want, and he's like, yeah, you can intern with me, like you can come after school whenever you can, and the weekends you can spend all weekend here and you can like help me out. And I was like, great, this is a great opportunity. Yeah, so I would go after school and on Saturday and Sunday, whatever. And I saw a lot of really cool stuff. Like I helped out. If you're an Anti-Flag fan, which is a punk rock band, they are from Pittsburgh. We saw them. They opened up for Flogging Molly.
Oh, that's
right. Went to that concert. Yeah, they're from Pittsburgh.
You helped me.
I was on the tail end of them recording that album. And
which album?
Don't know the name of it, but.
But it was a good one, trust me.
I mean, it was their main one
the
at
big
the
one.
Time, probably. I mean, their huge hit song, Gotta Die,
Fight
Your
Government.
That song was on it. I was there when they were in the vocal booth recording that, and we were in a... This was kind of the turning point, though, because it was a Saturday, and they had a delivery deadline for like I think Universal or Columbia Records or something, and it was midnight that night, and we were in what's called like a closed door or like a locked session, meaning that
you don't leave until
it's done.
It's right. Done.
And,
okay.
And we started at like 8 a.m. and we were there like trying to get things done before this delivery deadline at midnight. We were still there.
Jesus.
We had been there.
It's just an arduous process. Okay, why was it so last minute? Are they divas? Did they wait to the last minute?
No, they were nice, and it wasn't. I don't think it was so last minute. I don't know the full story because I was only there
for that day.
Yeah. So I don't know the lead up to it. I just know that I remember like feeling the pressure and like seeing them like in the booth and like watching the time tick away, and. You know, watching these guys, they were straight edge. They might still be like, slam coffee. And like at that time, I like couldn't get my head around like being straight edge because I was like 15 and everyone was drinking beer and smoking pot around me. And I was like, these guys are kind of pussies. But like now I don't drink. So yeah. I'm like, that's makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's the only reason they probably got it done.
And right. And then I remember like just like I remember us literally sending off the files like at midnight, like it was kind of crazy, and for like mastering. And
do you think, really quick, knowing now what you know, even though you're not in, obviously the music industry has changed immensely and you're not, you don't work in the music department, but do you think it's like okay midnight, like they would have been fine?
Definitely, but I don't know the full story. Like, maybe they had been pushed a few times already. Like, you know, I don't really know. I think back then when they were pressing real CDs, it was probably more hardcore because they probably had timelines in place. They had, you know, artwork they had to deliver in order for, like, these, you know, I'm
yeah,
sure there was a lot more.
Yeah, and they give you, like, advances and stuff from record right. companies. So it's like, we gave you fucking money, give us
yeah.
something.
So now it's probably a little bit more loosey-goosey that it's like, you know.
You can put it out anyway.
Yeah, everything's digital. But back then, there was probably a lot more, like, you know, whatever, like, stops in place for just, like, a lot of physical things had to happen.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and I imagine at some point you're like, as a record company, which are probably objectively fucking most people on the back end, especially then. But you are like, hey, we paid you, like, do something. Because some people where they get like a good chunk of money and they really fuck off for a while.
Yeah, yeah. But they owe it back. I mean, people don't realize that that's a loan. But so that was my first like, okay, that was a really long day. And that was like tough and you mm-hmm. couldn't. And I was like, that was kind of crazy. But then 50 Cent came in.
50 Cent? Wait, how come I don't know this?
I don't know. I've never told you this.
You've gone on and on ad nauseum about Anti-Flag and left out the fact that 50 Cent, my hero at the age of 16.
Yeah.
Okay, not my hero, but like I mean, I was into club.
Yeah, this was the follow-up to Into Club. And the way rappers back then, and maybe still do, they would just like 50 Cent didn't do his whole album there. He was coming in to like lay down a track because he was in Pittsburgh.
Just one, he would just happen to be passing through and he's like, let yeah. me get one done here.
Yeah, something like that. And or maybe he had a deadline too. I don't know the full story, but
because you just showed up and
yeah,
you know,
and he didn't tell me that it was going to be 50 Cent. I just came in on a Saturday, and I think the way it was back then was like, yeah, they would like lay down tracks in different studios, like wherever, whatever city they were touring in, and then maybe like kind of compile it, or maybe it was just like a demo track or whatever. But
that's crazy to think about, like what. Like that an artist during the day, you know, you're going to see them at a concert at night and they're actually recording songs for their next album somewhere.
Yeah. And probably now, like, the barrier is so low with technology, of how great technology has gotten, that.
Do you even go into studios?
I mean, I'm sure they do, but like, you could probably like carry people with you to, you know.
You could just have an engineer and you have. On your tour bus.
I know. Yeah, like, something like that. And you could just like do it in the green room or something. But I don't know. Anyways, I showed up that Saturday. And this was definitely the most famous person I'd ever seen in my life at this point. Like up close. And like I remember like 5 black SUVs pulled up out back. And he like sent me out to meet them. And like, yeah. And like, I mean, so many people got out of these cars.
It was the club.
Yeah, it was literally the club. And yeah, like 50 Cent like got out of one. And I mean, there must have been 35 people. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
we ain't going nowhere.
Literally, there's too many people to go anywhere.
Is that him, actually?
No, I don't know. Because that's bad.
Bad Boys for
yeah,
what?
That's not it.
Anyway, I'm white.
So they came into the studio one day, and then I was, you know, like interning, but I was kind of like their little like bitch boy. Like,
of course, that's what an intern is.
Yeah, like I was kind of like a little errand boy where I would, like I had to run to the gas station to get them blunt wraps and stuff because there was like 20.
Were you old enough to get blunt wraps?
No, of course not. But the gas, you know, just up the street, I'm like, hey, this is for the studio, you know, up the way.
And my friend, Mr. 50 Cent.
Mr. Curtis.
Oh, yeah, Jackson or Johnson?
I think so,
or?
Yeah, Jackson. I think it's Curtis Jackson. And
fuck, I used to know all this.
And there was like 30 of the 35 people were out in the little lobby that was right outside the studio just smoking blunts all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there for, you know, probably 8 hours or something. And that was, I only brought this up because that was just fun. But then there was like this, those were two great memories. I started having weird thoughts like when we were there so long with Anti-Flag where I was like, oh, this is tough.
This but is a hard job.
I came in another Saturday and it was some like dog shit, like yacht rock, like dad band that I had never heard of or anything.
You say the name and it's like one of the most famous bands ever.
I don't know who it was. I think it was honestly just like a local thing. And we were in that session for 12 hours.
And that's when you were like.
And that is the moment where I was like, because I said to the engineer, I was like, why did we have to do this? And he's like, because they were paying for this 12-hour session. This is what they paid for. And he's like,
they paid. It's also get. I mean, maybe it was a real band. You paid for a 12-hour session.
Well, yeah.
Who wants to play that long? Like, your voice hurts.
And
don't your fingers hurt when you're fucking?
Well, it's not. It's done in stages. You know, the guitarist does his part for a few hours. But that's why.
So basically, if it had only been bands you liked, you might have become an audio engineer.
Well, I know. And that's like.
Yacht Rock saved your life.
I was 15, you know. So like, I didn't see the forest through the trees. And I was like, oh, I only want to do the cool stuff. But like, I didn't realize that like, you can get to a point where you only do the cool stuff. But you in the interim, you got to just do whoever's going to pay you. And honestly, you should just do whoever pays you. But like, I was a teenager, you know, I didn't know any better. And
yeah, it's like you have to, in any industry, God yeah. damn it, you're going to have to
what
go through the bullshit. No, I'm just the sound things. I'm so hyper-focused on it because people have complained.
Well, it was at that point where I was like, maybe this isn't for me.
And that's probably a good thing. I think.
Yeah, and I'd
out.
Been looking into like Full Sail already. Because that was like the only place to go, really, at
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, that was the place that like everyone
yeah.
who wanted to work. Anyways, really quick, we're going to take a break. And
hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business, They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, StarKist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We'll be right back. And we're back. I hope you enjoyed that break from whatever random sponsors were dropped in there that aren't partners. They're just people who've paid for ads randomly. Also, let me know. ignoranceisblesspodcast@gmail.com. You getting crazy ads? I don't know what you're hearing. Okay. So that's when you gave up on being an audio engineer. And I want to say thank God, but a little of me right now is like, I mean, you wouldn't be here, but it would be really helpful right now.
Yeah, I didn't give up on it. I just, I was like, I don't think that's the track for
me. The track for you.
So actually for the rest of high school, that's right when I switched high schools, which is really why I stopped interning there. And I
went because you were nowhere near it?
Or? Yeah, I went to a high school that was like out in the boonies where my dad lived. And I...
Did the band break up?
The band, we tried it for a little bit and then we ended up breaking up. But I actually, that school was cool in the sense that we had, a music track, like in the school that you could go down, you know, like you could take your electives as like music courses, which was kind of strange for me because like I was a kind of like a jock, like, cool guy, but I was like in a band, but like I don't know,
I was
like,
a cool guy.
No, but I mean I just like kind of had those friends, but the
music track is dorky.
Well, yeah,
it's like band perfect. It's like committing to band, committing.
It is
committing.
Pretty much all band kids, and so I had these like two worlds where I was in this like one group of people and
that are chain smoking.
Yeah, and they thought I was like, they're like, oh dude, you like go to like the band kid class,
dude.
Like,
oh, you care about your future?
Yeah, you're like
gay,
a dork. And then those band kids, with the exception of a few,
they were like, he's gross.
Well, they were like, he's in these classes to blow them off.
Oh,
and because
they're like, he doesn't even respect the art of music,
right?
And he smells like a cigarette.
So it, like, looking back on it, and I guess like doing therapy and stuff, I wasn't like bullied or anything like that, but
you just felt on the outskirts.
I did. I felt on the outskirts. I felt kind of like alone, like I was like caught in between these two things. And
do you?
I actually, you know what's funny is like I felt more ostracized by like the band kids, and
yeah,
they weren't.
They're
like
clicky, and they toot their horns about it.
Right? Yeah, they weren't literally mean to me, but like it was more of like a passive aggressive thing where I felt like I never fit in with them, and no one like, I don't know, kind of took me seriously over there, where like that was honestly worse than the kids who they were so like, oh, those other kids like, you know, bully us or whatever. And like, to each their own. I don't know if they really got bullied, but like, I don't think people address that enough where it's like you can be on the outside of that and also feel
left out,
you know,
that can have its lasting effects on you.
Yeah. The nerds can be mean too, you know?
Yeah, and they're actually really good at it because they're smart.
Right.
But
it was great. We had a great teacher. I learned a lot of cool stuff. I learned how to transpose music, sheet music, and all this
kind of
stuff.
You know how to transpose sheet music?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like riding a bike probably, but...
I doubt. No one's like, transposing sheet music. It's like riding a bike.
I'm saying I'd have to like knock off the rust.
I don't actually. Okay, let me back up because I don't. I said that. I don't even know what transposing means. Does that mean like you hear something and then you make it sheet music?
No, that is very hard to do.
Okay, that's why I was
you'd
so
have
impressed.
To have, no, you would have to have like perfect pitch to be able to do that.
Oh, so I could probably do it if I knew okay. what sheet music
well,
looked like.
She, you're blowing out their ears. And no, transposing is taking...
It's a like, trans person voguing down a runway. Yeah, transposing. Boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
Boom.
Yeah, that is one form of it. The other form that's more commonly known is when you take like something that's in a bass clef and transpose it into a treble clef.
Or you
clef.
Switch it into...
You change keys and yeah.
Yeah, I know that. You know when I like gave up on band was I got into band... In sixth grade, that was middle school in Mississippi, and I was too poor to have my own instrument, so you had to rent them. I don't know if you had that. You had a guitar. I don't know what you played in. If in band you played your guitar or if it was something else. Did you play your guitar in band?
No, because I wasn't actually like in band.
Oh, you were just in the music track. Okay,
yeah,
so.
I was just taking the classes. Like, I didn't take like an instrument class. I took like
transposing music.
Yeah,
class.
Reading and writing.
Musical theory.
Yep, musical theory, conducting, reading and writing.
Let me ask you this.
Music.
As someone who's taken a conducting class, that's a load of bullshit.
Definitely not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh? It's like, clearly it's on the sheet
attention.
Music.
Clearly didn't pay attention.
I didn't take the class, but I was it, renting
okay.
a...
Okay, let me
Okay,
adjust.
I'll never
it
tell
is,
my story.
No, it is a little bit of bullshit in the sense that it is on the sheet music, so those people can just see what you're about to do. But they can also, in an orchestra, they would watch you for cues.
Like when to exactly stop and when to...
Yeah.
Get. So it's just like having another option.
The orchestra could play without the conductor.
Yes. And that's why I've always wondered if the conductor is really significant.
I think they add some oomph to it. They're like the ultimate hype man.
Yeah, but like they're for the audience.
A little bit. They also keep time. I mean, that's what that is.
I would love to talk to someone in an orchestra and see if they would be like, no, actually, I would be fucked without the conductor. I mean, I guess it's probably people have their preferences of how they play. Some people probably focus on the sheet music. Some people probably learn the music mostly, but watch the guy.
They add like a little bit of showmanship to it. But also, like, I think it's more importantly with like, you know, crescendos and stuff that when they're
I
like,
didn't know that this was going to be a full
when they're
music
pulling it up.
Podcast.
I didn't know either. Let's change topics.
Yeah, can I tell my story really quick though?
Yeah,
about when
it?
I quit playing an instrument.
Sure.
Okay, that was rude. You guys couldn't see it, but
which time? All right, go ahead.
Fuck you. I never started on the other times. I was given the French horn because you were just assigned an instrument if you were too poor to have your own. So they just like rented you one.
Wait, what's a French horn?
It's just called a horn now, but it's the one that's like a long curly. It has like it opens up on the side. You hold it like this.
Bigger than you.
No, it was a good size instrument. It was big.
I know, but bigger than you.
Maybe in sixth grade.
Probably looked ridiculous.
I loved it. I was so happy. I thought it was elegant. I thought it was cool. I thought like. Especially living, maybe there was a part of it that was like living in the South and there was jazz, you know, in New Orleans. Like I thought like, this is a cool instrument that I'm really excited to learn to play. You learn it on the treble scale. Then maybe 2 months into sixth grade, my mom gets a job in Alaska, drives us to Alaska. Don't get to take the French horn because it's a rental. Then I get to Alaska and they're like, oh yeah, you can rent an instrument from us. And I go, yeah, well, I was playing the French horn. I was learning the French horn. In Mississippi, and they're like, well, we don't have that because who the fuck plays the French horn? You can play the baritone horn. And that actually was the size of me.
Yeah.
To the point that, like, for 1 week, I had one instrument, and after leaving it in the snow because I was dragging it to school and saw a moose and just ran off, they were like, well, we'll give you one to have, we'll rent you one to have at your house, and you can keep one at school. First of all, it was on the bass clef, which I hadn't learned.
Easier.
Sure. More importantly, you're telling me this instrument is so unpopular that you have two available for me, but not one French horn. I made it to one band concert, stood up for my part, tooted my horn, and then I quit. And they're like, you can't quit. You have to be doing band. And I was like, no. So during band time, I would just sit in my regular sixth grade classroom and like draw and do homework.
That's crazy.
And now I regret not learning an instrument, but I don't regret telling the band teacher who gave me the smallest person in sixth grade the largest instrument.
Yeah, that guy should have given you like a clarinet or a flute or something.
Yeah, the cute ones that were all taken. Like we have, of course, it was like we have enough clarinet
players. But everything up there, I suspect, is like Russian influence. So there's like a lot of like violas.
Yeah, there was also orchestra, but nobody, I wasn't offered, I don't know why, maybe all they had were these baritone horns. I was not offered a replacement instrument.
Yeah, and they're like, everything is just sad and communist music.
Yeah, just to match the weather. And sometimes I'm sad. I wish I would have stuck with it because maybe I'd have like residual skill to translate somewhere.
Fucking French horn around
here. But can
you
imagine?
Are you
kidding me? Oh, also, I think part of the reason I gave up is I was practicing my baritone horn in my apartment, in our apartment complex. It was like a 4-unit. We were on the bottom floor. The bottom floor, which is usually, anyway, a neighbor came down and knocked on the door and was like, whatever is going on in here has to end.
Hilarious.
And I was like, I'm sorry, my future?
Yeah. Listen, you're not going to go on tour as a baritone horn.
Well, not
player.
Now. My dreams were dashed.
Yeah. Name one baritone horn player. Famous one.
Baritones. Honestly, no. It's you're not gonna hear. That's the thing. It's like an alto in a fucking musical production. They're never gonna stand out, but it wouldn't be as good without them.
Fair enough.
And someone could probably no one could name a famous baritone horn because if you were strong enough and had the skill set and build to be really good at baritone horn, you'd play the fucking tuba. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break. No, we'll just keep powering through.
Play us out.
Bomp, bomp, bomp. Listen, I hope people are still listening.
We'll move on from music.
Let's just go through the quiz because I told people you were going to come on and they're pretty excited. They wanted to learn. They wanted to hear about how you feel about me and our relationships. We got questions in the chat. I almost feel like I'm going to have to record an intro and tell people if they want. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Listen, people in the Facebook group, for those listening, I've already plugged it, but it's linked in the show notes. Idiots is the name of the group. You can go. I posted saying I think I'm going to have my boyfriend on the podcast because I wasn't sure if this would actually happen or if you'd just go,
You know. Here I am.
Here he is. And I'm so happy you're here.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. What are the questions?
I thought this would go differently, but...
In what way?
I don't know.
Thought I'd be more jovial?
No.
Okay,
no.
Should we talk about something else?
I just wish if I had known we were going to go into the music stuff, I would have mentioned it to the listeners and been like, he did this. Is anyone... I don't know what questions they would have.
Okay, well, what questions do they have? Maybe we'll find something.
Okay. Anyways, I'll have you back on because I feel like we didn't get to know enough about you. We just learned this one very niche corner of your life that doesn't even apply to what you do.
To be continued. How long have we been going?
43 minutes.
Holy shit. Okay. Wow, that goes by quick.
Yeah, it sure does. Or it doesn't.
Or
anyway.
We've lost every listener. All right. Here's the questions. Tune back in now.
That will work. Maybe I'll move this to the front. Just kidding. It was great. But
ask one.
Don't blink your eyes at me. Okay. So what? These are strictly about like what you like about me. But what initially attracted you the most to JMS?
Initially attracted me the most.
Yes. I should say we met on an app.
We did meet in an app.
Hinge?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's...
Or were you just blindly liking things like, you're like, some woman will match with me?
Yeah, I mean, is that question like from app to in person or in person?
I think we could do both. If you remember on the app, but you
I remember on the app that you...
I replied to you first.
Yeah, she sought me out, but I...
Sought you out?
I remember
you
that
popped
she
popped up, and I went, this guy seems
I remember she
fun.
Was, like, smart and witty, and, like, she was funny in her, like, messages, and I was like, Oh, okay. Yeah, because there's a lot of dumb broads on there.
Yeah, how is it on your end? Because on my end, as a woman on dating apps, and maybe it's also my experience of being a funny woman in my daily life, I'm fortunate enough to be friends with literally some of the funniest people in the world. So I'm spoiled by constant banter. So my threshold over there was like,
yeah. No,
I paid more attention. That's what I liked about Hinge. In addition to like, you have to like a thing on their profile. You can't just be like, I like you. I like that it forces you to answer at least three prompts, because someone's personality and like being funny is so important to me.
Yeah.
That like, I need to see that. And I actually would pay more attention to that. I would look at people's prompts, and then if it was funny, then I would go like, oh no, what does he look like? Like, yeah. I literally wouldn't even be looking, because I'm like, I don't care how hot you are if I can't fucking stand you.
Right. And so I think that was probably number one. I was like, she's like quick and smart, and like, this is like a real conversation. It's not like, what part of town do you live in? What do you do for work? Like, it was like just generally kind of like flowed naturally. And then at that point, I was like, oh, the secret to these dating apps is like,
get him on the phone.
Well, no, you can't go back and forth and like basically have the first date via text, because then it's like weird when you do
show
meet up
and you're like, yeah, I already know the answer right to these questions. So I
was like, I'm just going to try to meet up with her as soon as possible. And
that's what you do with everyone on apps. That's your move.
No, at that point I had learned that I was like, if I'm interested in someone,
better to just meet up with them. Yeah. Cut to the chase, because you don't want to spend, I mean, it's not the same. But when people talk about waiting a really long time to have sex with someone, like I had a friend that was like, oh, I have to go on 10 dates with someone. I was like, what if you go on 10 dates? They're incredible. And it's the worst sex you've ever had.
Yeah, maybe like two or three.
Yeah, but I think three is reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you build so much sexual tension, and then they're like, oh yeah, I can't get erections.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know. But then in person, I don't know. I mean, obviously she looks great.
Aww.
And we just had a really fun time at dinner. I think the conversation flowed naturally, and dinner didn't really go like, the service was god awful.
Terrible.
And the food was not great, and we were able to like just laugh about it.
Yeah.
And I also knew that her like birthday was coming up, so I thought it'd be funny if like on the reservation I was like, we're celebrating a birthday, and then have her surprised like with a cake. Like, I thought that would be funny on a first
date. You thought
it'd
be funny? I just thought it was cute.
And well, funny.
That could have gone either way, actually. Yeah, like it could have been like, this guy's insane.
But if you hadn't have found that like funny and cute, then I would have been like, well, she
sucks.
She's not going to like me, because I'm going to continue to do stuff like this. And but the service was so bad that we didn't even ever get the.
Oh, yeah, because I had a show.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice, that I was like at a hard out, and I had picked the time. My spot was at 10:30, and I was like, do you think is 8? I think we did like 8 or 8:30.
Yeah.
I was like, is that enough time? And I remember in the text message, you kind of laugh like, that's so much time. Like,
well, yeah, it was like right down the road. I was like, I'm not going to sit there.
But then they went
2.5 hours. But then we did sit there for 2 hours.
Partly because they were so fucking slow.
Yeah, mostly because they were.
But thank God it was like the conversation flowed naturally. Like, I didn't feel like, yeah. I wasn't like, God, this is going on forever. I was just like, oh, I do have to leave.
I know. So I think that's really what it was, is that the 2 hours went by quick. And yeah, the rest is history. Next question.
So wait, what initially attracted you to me? That was funny, and I was
hot. Do you see,
like,
yeah.
What's, okay, this is literally the next question. This just sound like a ruse for me to get compliments. What's your favorite quality about me?
Yeah, did you write all these?
No, I didn't. Or thing about me, quality, thing.
Quality.
And don't worry, there's going to be some negative questions too.
What is quality, like, what is that? Like,
what's your favorite thing about me?
Like a personality trait?
Anything.
My favorite thing about you.
You're not going to go, my big juicy tits. It probably is my personality. That's why you thought of that. No one's ever been like, but her body is banging. Even when my body's decent. It's just.
No, I mean, I think it's like, this will be a disappointing answer, because like, it's very obvious that she's a comedian. So it's like, yeah, there's I think it's just that she is always kind of, you know, riffing on stuff and like making me laugh. And sometimes it's too much, but
yeah, he really shuts me down sometimes.
It's also,
he goes, that's enough fun.
Yeah. It's also,
okay. I get it.
My favorite quality. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's the conversation, your ability to like explore just like ideas outside of the box that normally comedians think about things differently. So they think about, there's no wrong answer. So I think that's kind of how my brain thinks, even though I'm not a comedian, but I've always wanted to, like, all my friends and stuff, you know, we've always talked like that. And
you've always wanted to what?
I've always what?
You said you always wanted to.
I've always wanted to have like that kind of conversations, like with people, like in a.
You like laughing,
right? Like I like there being no like no limits,
no boundaries on,
right? And my family's like that, and we, you know, there's so
crack jokes and go too, quote, too far too soon. What?
Yeah. So that's it.
Oh, okay, yeah, I like my ability to do that with you too, because you are also good at it. So,
yeah,
and let me tell you, I've dated people who will really go, "I can't believe you said that," and I'm like, "Oh, this isn't gonna work. this is a stand."
Right.
Now, what's your least favorite habit of mine? Can't wait to hear this. I mean, get out the laundry list.
Yeah, get out the laundry list. I would say least favorite habit.
Thank you for asking this, person who I now have to sit through this.
I would say
Moki's leaning on my chest because she knows I'm scared.
I would say it's her drinking and not alcohol. She drinks water so fucking loud. The way she swallows is intentionally offensive.
I personally am trying to go after him. Can you guys hear this?
Yeah, that was a quiet one because that was hot coffee. If it's water, she's fucking...
I'm thirsty. And do you know how much it fucks me up to know that I upset you the way I drink? Do you know I drink less water because of how upset you are about the way I drink water?
Don't. That's not true. And I would say my second... is
that, oh they didn't ask for a second, but no, by all means, go ahead.
I have a follow-up on this one, is that she often says things that sound like they're not okay. I think this is just a male female thing where I'll say, hey, do you want to go to this restaurant or whatever, and she'll go, yeah it's fine. And it sounds like it's not fine. It sounds like it's not
fucking
fine.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. That's fine. When it's, let me be clear, when it's a restaurant, when it's a choice of we could go here or there, if I say that's fine, it is fine.
Yeah,
I'm not picky. I would, and I get that maybe some of this is some type of, maybe like deeply it is part of a codependent people pleasing thing where it's like, well, let's go where you want because I want you to be happy. But I'm not wanting you to be happy at the detriment of my own joy.
Do you see how she can't even explain this?
Fuck you. It's hard. I couldn't think of the word detriment. I would be equally as happy with any of the options.
Okay, but one of my prompts in the Hinge
was to be decisive.
Was
so
I like
I'm
women
working
who
on
are
it.
Decisive?
You want a mom.
No, I don't want a mom. What I want is, I've already narrowed it down to two options. Now it's your... I've done 90% of the work. You come 10% of the way and choose one of the two instead of saying either's fine. And then I'm like, okay, have I chosen these two completely wrong? And that's what I'll do. I'll go, okay, well, let me look at some other stuff and bring some, because it sounds like it's like, well, yeah, it'll do. That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, it will do. If you want me to pick a restaurant I'm going to love, I'm going to be morbidly obese. Like,
yeah,
it will be
that?
Fine.
Yeah. See, I mean.
It doesn't need to be the most extravagant experience of my life. It's food.
No one ever said that.
Food
I should
just be
like,
fine.
Do you want a ham? Like, could you.
Look, if it's between
like,
a cheeseburger and a salad, I want a cheeseburger.
No, but it'd be like, how about a hamburger? Would you be okay with a hamburger or a hot dog? Yeah, either's fine.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
He says hot dog weird.
I don't say it weird.
Also, either is not fine. If those are never, the option is never in our entire relationship been hamburger or hot dog. That has never been the choice. That's not a thing. That's never been, which one are we deciding between?
Subscribe now to our new podcast, Hamburger or Hot Dog.
Hot dog. That should be our podcast. Okay, well, I, because you said that, will make a better effort. I have been trying
because
to make a better effort.
Because I said effort. That now. I say it.
Yeah, and I'm making a better effort.
She's lying to you guys that she, because of that, now I will change.
I journaled about it during the fire that I want to be more decisive because I know it annoys you.
Anyways, it's a small thing. I can move past it. Next question.
Seems like you can't. Seems like you haven't moved past. We've been together 2.5 years. Seems like me just going either is fine plagues you.
We'll make one choice ever in 2 years.
Okay.
All right.
Cheesecake Factory forever.
Next question.
They want to know, what do you think is the thing that attracted me most to you? You answer and then I'll correct you.
What do I think? I think it's the opposite of what I said. I think it's the ability, like I have the ability to hold a conversation with you.
You think the opposite. I think it's that when you say opposite, it's like, I think it's that I'm terribly unfunny and she enjoys being the one.
No, yeah. I think it's the reciprocation then.
Reciprocation then? Yeah. No, I mean, that's extremely important.
Because I hang around almost every one of my friends.
Well, you're also a babe.
75, thank you. 75 to 80% of my friends are comedians.
Because he's commandeered my friends. And that's important. Asterisk.
Some, yeah, most of them, yeah.
They've,
but like,
he's and taken then, my friends.
No, but I mean, my other friends are like on my side of the business, on the industry side. And some of them have the ability to keep up with comedians, but most of them don't. And
so good. That's
comedians
good.
Are a very unique brand of breed
brand.
And brand.
Bard. Barf.
Of people. And it's not, most people can't just stand in a circle and talk with comedians. Not that it's like
hard
putting them up on a pedestal or whatever, but yeah, it's just a different kind. Every comedian that's good that you meet is like, in their high school, let's just say, for example, they were the quickest.
Or in their group of friends.
Yeah. And they're, so it's
like they're just as funny. Most comics, in my opinion, I don't know if this is what you're trying to say, but like are just as funny or sometimes funnier, even funnier in conversation off stage.
Way funnier in conversation. But it's also a group of people where they're all the quickest people from where they're from. So it's a group of people that are all extreme. And sometimes like I just notice it on my, because I'm like often a fly on the wall to it, where it's like sometimes almost like a champion emerges where it's like, okay, this person is like another level from even these people, which is fucking crazy. But not everyone can have that kind of like a quick banter. It's very quick.
It's an extremely elevated conversation in terms of banter, because everyone versus like the situation where, yeah, I see what you're saying, where like one person, a lot of times in a normal conversation, in just a regular group of people, there's a person holding court. And this is like bouncing, like
yeah,
boom, boom,
usually,
boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah.
They're like,
and
you're feeding
slower.
Off each other.
Right. Yeah.
And everyone's keeping up.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing too absurd. And yeah, some, and a lot of time, really, it's kind of yes anding too, is that people,
which
don't,
stand-ups would hate to hear.
But I know, but most people don't understand improv. Like that stand-ups are still yes anding, whether they're building on ideas. And a lot of people just go, no, I don't think that. Regular people, they go, no, I don't. And
it's, I disagree.
Like, it's like, yeah, it's like the point is not here to disagree. The point is to have fun.
Yeah, we're being, because
life
silly.
Is meaningless.
Yeah, we're all going to die. Let's just make jokes about 9/11. Anyway.
So I would say that would be the thing that you like about me, is that I'm so fucking smart.
You're pretty smart. You're smart enough to keep up. And that's, you know.
No, I'm actually incredibly dumb. I just don't
He's
care.
Real pretty.
I just don't care about
Shut up. You know you're not dumb. I couldn't handle it if you were dumb.
Next question.
What are our funniest favorite memories together?
Funniest favorite?
Yeah, favorite / funniest. They could be separate.
yeah, I mean, that's a lot of, no, I mean,
there's
that's
so,
a lot.
You know what's so funny is that like,
I'm trying to think of a funny.
We have like these big moments of like, you know, things I've really enjoyed, like when we go to Santa Barbara for Christmas.
Yeah, that was mine too.
Like in terms of like peak memories of like, oh, adventures. But honestly, my favorite moments of ours are usually really small moments where like we're around the house and something silly happens.
Yeah. Or
like I can't even point to a specific one, but like a like it's conversational where you'll just say something funny, or sometimes you do these like you'll just do these stupid like dances or whatever. Or
yeah, I think that's the same for me. It's like the little moments driving around. You know, she's usually like talking shit on people that we drive by, like just is is funny, or like walking the dog. Used to be dogs, now just dog around.
Oh, Jenny, someone did ask about that. I don't think they realized that you lost your dog, and I'm gonna cover Moki's ears, but someone did ask whose dog is better.
Well, in what way? I mean,
it's just in terms of travel ability, Moki wins.
Of course, Jenny was 65 pounds. But oh,
but she was just so sweet and lovable. We missed Jenny.
In terms of like training and obedience, Jenny was a way better dog.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's not even close.
Moki, and obviously, she doesn't speak English. It's hard to train her.
I obviously, you know, Jenny is mine, Moki's hers, and then they kind of converged. But obviously, you know, it's like Moki's like my step child, so it's like,
all right, Al,
yeah, I don't fucking you know, yeah, I'll give you lunch money, but like,
you guys, he's so full of shit. Before we were delayed recording because he was giving her lunch and he's singing in the kitchen and going, Moki wants her little dinner breakfast.
I do love Moki, don't get me wrong, but it's like I just love Jenny more, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's a different
and you love
kind of
Moki
love.
More than no, you love Jenny.
I love them both.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but there's like a little bit more.
Jenny definitely, in terms of other people, Jenny is the dog you want to present to your friends.
Yeah.
Because she was so open and loved. Jenny is, her ability to love everyone was inspirational to me. That she just greeted everyone like a friend. And Moki treats everyone like they may be a potential mortal enemy and peril is nigh. Yeah. And I know why she's like that. I know she gets that from me.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of synonymous for how we are, I would say.
Fuck you. I mean, that's true. Nate's joking with people in the elevator, and every time I'm in an elevator and someone gets in, I back into a corner and silently assess if they're going to attack me. And I don't know why I'm like this.
Yeah, but on the opposite, like you're more likely to go to, I think, probably like a
social gathering.
Yeah, like a social gathering and be like, hi, hey, and like da 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 da. Where like I better know some people there who are gonna, I'm happy to be introduced, and
but you can't just go loose.
And I can, but it's,
I think that's maybe one of the hardest parts of getting started in any industry like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's so,
you have to be alone.
It's so hard for me. Not even hard. It's like, it's just so like mortifying, maybe, where I'm like, I just don't want to fucking be, hey, I just want to introduce myself as a, like, I'm happy to be introduced and I'll have conversation, but again, same kind of thing. I hang around so many comedians. It's like, I think what it is that I'm like, most of who I meet is going to be disappointing.
I mean, being friends with comedians ruins
yeah,
your regular
not in terms
friendships.
Of like, I'm not saying people are dumb or anything, but it's like, I just,
I'm lucky that a lot of my close friends are very funny anyway.
I just don't want small talk. That's yeah. what it really is. I yeah. just can't stand small talk. If someone can introduce me and skip that for me, then yeah, great, but I just don't want to be like, yeah, that where you're from, da, 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 you know, and like, I've worked in sales my whole life, and I think that's probably what it is. I just have done so much of it, and it's so fucking exhausting, and I just don't care.
Yeah, no, it's,
at this
I it's so funny, because there is this big part of me that's like, genuinely like, loves everybody, and there is a part of me that really thinks like, deep down, or like, everyone has a story. Like, there was a part yeah. of me that wanted to do this podcast where I wanted to just have regular people on and tell their story. The problem is, not everyone can tell their story.
Right. I am interested in your story, but if you're able to tell it in a compelling way, if you're just going to say, I'm from Kansas and I, you know, if you're going to give me the surface level, like, resume, bullet point, that's what it is. If you're going to give me your LinkedIn profile, not interested.
Yeah.
If
and can I say, once on a dating app, a man I matched with and then was ignoring him because I didn't care and had frankly forgotten and logged out of the app. I got back in, and he had sent me his LinkedIn profile.
I mean, that's so crazy.
That's psychotic.
Why?
I don't know, because it's LA, and I think he was like a CEO or of something fancy where he was... I guess maybe that worked with people. They went, oh, he must be rich. I guess I'll talk to him now. I fucking have no idea. I was
that's
like...
fucking bananas.
What? Oh, fuck, I lost the page. Yeah, well, I think that's good. Let's a couple more things, and then I do have to reset up for a new podcast, which I'm filming and I'm gonna look like dog shit for, because I don't shower every day. I lost your answers, guys. Bear with me. Not answers, questions. Funny relationship deal breakers.
Funny what?
Someone asked like relationship deal breakers. I mean, they don't have to be funny, but they did say funny. Like, what's a?
I don't fully understand the question. Like in the past or
I
like,
guess so, yeah. Like what's
or
a deal
if
breaker?
One were to come,
yeah.
One were to present itself now.
AIDS. Which would be, AIDS, unfortunately, now people are going to get mad at me for saying that because there's PrEP.
Oh, I think I know what they're saying. Like what have been some things in the past that have broken relationships that are...
maybe funny.
Yeah.
Or have there ever been like little pet peeves that you were like, eventually this will be the end of this relationship? And is one of them drinking water too loud? Because there's nothing I can do about it.
There is something you could do about it.
Starve of water?
Just learn to drink water. Learn to let the liquid go down your throat instead of... She fucking like muscles it. It's so crazy.
You know, I would argue a lot of men would be really impressed by that swallowing power.
It seems like it's not good swallowing power. It's
yeah,
like,
maybe I'm dying. How about some concern for my health? Maybe I need to see a doctor. Maybe my trachea is collapsing.
Man, I'm trying to think. You say one first while I think about it. Something that has made you like break it off.
I'm trying to think.
Let's come back to it. What's the next?
Yeah, I was like,
question.
There's things
I will
that,
think
like,
of one because I know what you're asking.
There's
and I,
things,
and
I
know that I have them. I just need to.
There's a lot of things in relationships where like. They should have been a deal breaker. And then when I finally did break it off, I was like, I always hated that thing. Like, I mean, like my ex was just a fucking alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like he was doing like blow at a house party with like 10 people. You're a loser. You're doing cocaine at a house party in your late 30s.
I would say that here's the thing about me. I haven't been in a lot of relationships because I've been in like enough, like I'm not a weirdo, but I think I'm more selective to actually get into the relationship. But I mean, I've slept with thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands
Shut
of
up.
Women.
They're 12.
So I would say that like...
Were there things where you slept with a woman and thought like, she's fun, this maybe could be somewhere,
yeah.
And then immediately you're like, she's not,
yeah,
this isn't a relationship.
I wouldn't even say like, it's always about like the sex. I'm just saying I've had like
sex is a factor.
I know, but I'm just saying that I've had like smaller, like, you know, hanging out, hooking up kind of thing for like maybe like a few days, a week or whatever. And then like kind of cut it off there.
Cause you were like, I don't want to be with
someone
who does
that
twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, one of them, I remember that, I was like hanging out with this girl and then like the first time she ever slept over, I had white pillowcases. And I woke up in the morning and like it was covered.
Was she fake tan?
And makeup. Yeah. And I'm pretty good about seeing like someone with caked on makeup, and she didn't appear to have that. But yeah, it was like, and then yeah, she looked like a different person, and she wasn't ugly. That's the thing. She was not ugly.
She just chose to wear a lot of makeup.
So much makeup. And it was like,
my friend Annabelle used to have a joke about how why she doesn't sleep with people is she's like, She's like, I'm going to leave their house. It's going to look like they smothered a clown.
Yeah. And it's like, there's like the old like dad joke, like, oh, take them swimming on the first date. And you know what I mean? But it was like, it was like the amount was like egregious where I was like,
the sheets were ruined.
And she's pretty. And so, but she would do that every day. And I was like, yeah, there's something going on here. You know,
let me ask you this. Obviously you're the voice for all men. When a woman wears a ton of makeup, does that read to you as insecure?
Yes.
Interesting.
If it's not like, I mean, there's people who, you know, maybe you have like a scar or something. Like, there's like some like justified.
You don't have some hideous thing you need to cover up so I don't have to see it.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like a lot of people are just naturally beautiful. Like, you don't have to cake on this layer. Like, makeup is supposed to be.
Yeah, but some people like the art form.
Complementary. You know, it's supposed to be, or supplementary. Like, you know, it's supposed to like
enhance your. Yeah. Hey, if you have good features. Some people have to carve out their features.
That's what I'm saying. They literally like paint on a whole new face. And it's like, well, what are you doing? Not only is that probably time consuming and expensive, but it's like, yeah, just learn to like.
It is really funny. I know that jokes have been made a million times, but people who wear that much makeup and have like lip injections and maybe like fake tits, or like they're wearing Spanx and they're like, I just want a man who's honest.
Yeah.
Their tooth falls out.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are like vegan too. I remember I knew this vegan who smoked cigarettes, but it was specifically American Spirits because they were all natural. I'm like, you're smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. It's
you're
like,
not the peak of health.
Yeah.
And she did a lot of cocaine too.
No, I had my first roommate yeah. when I moved to LA. I was like, I think I ordered like Little Caesar's pizza. I was poor and it was $5 hot to go right down yeah. the street. And she was like, oh my God, I can't believe you eat that. There's so many chemicals in that. And she was like, she literally had dents and scratches on the side, both sides of her car from just drunk driving. And she would like do cocaine off of our counter. I yeah. do miss the price of that apartment though. Looking back, it was like a 2-bedroom townhouse, 2.5 bath, in unit laundry. And I think we were, we're each paying like $800. But
yeah. And there was like a couple that were, yeah, maybe like, I don't know, this is kind of anticlimactic, but like a couple that were just like turned out to be sloppy, like drunks, you know, that were just like embarrassing.
It's gross.
To like have around, like, yeah, it was just.
Yeah,
like,
I do remember like, yeah, there were people, it's like, I will die on the hill of my last relationship only went on so long because pandemic and I like my brain was fucked up. Like, I think had there not been a pandemic, this makes no sense to people, but it does to me. Had the world not shut down, I think we probably would have broken up within like 2 months.
No, I think
but then for some reason it was just this like hunker down. I think the universe needed me to be with someone so I didn't kill myself. I don't know. But
no,
like,
I think that makes sense to a lot of people. I think there's probably a lot of relationships that broke up because of that. But I also think there's probably a decent amount that like found more love in that. And
yeah.
people like, you know, maybe were forced to be together and then like.
They found a renewed.
They're like, well, we've couldn't get any closer than this, you know. So
we survived. So we might as well stay together.
50-50.
But like.
Yeah, so I don't have any really great like barn burner funny ones. I'm sorry. I'm just
a lot of mine have just been bad sex where it's just like I can't live like this forever. I can't.
Yeah.
Because if I commit to someone, I'm like at least trying to go like could this last?
Well, there was okay, this one is sex and like I don't think we probably would have ever been in a relationship. Actually maybe, but there was this girl and I've told you this story so this isn't news, but this girl was like before we were going to hook up and this girl's like, she was like a bombshell. She was like
hotter than me.
Do you see these traps?
Okay.
She
obviously lost? She was, you
okay,
see him you avoiding the question.
No, I didn't, but that's such an annoying question. That's not like,
he's like, obviously I said bombshell. What do you think you are?
It was apples to oranges. She had black hair.
It was apples to oranges. You're shaped like an apple.
she
had black hair.
Yeah. And she goes, before we hook up, she goes,
dye my hair black.
Hey, what?
I'd look good.
This is insane. Okay, so.
Black haired bomb. I didn't know. I thought in my
do
mind.
Do you see how I don't ask any questions about her exes and stuff like that? It's like, whatever. It's fine. But like.
In my mind, I for some reason thought you like only had a thing where you like only liked blondes.
Nope.
I don't know why I made that up.
Okay, so she's racist. That's why. But.
I'm not racist.
Right before we hooked up, she went, hey, I just want to let you know that don't be freaked out. But when we hook up, like, I don't really make much noise. And it's like, it's not something that you're doing wrong or whatever. It's just like the way. And I was like, okay, that was weird. But I was like, all right. But also,
did
like,
you see that as a challenge?
Yeah. And I was like, also, I'm like a guy. So I was like, what I heard was like, she said, I don't make any noise. And what I heard was, I don't make much noise.
Like, you thought you were like, okay, so you're not going to be overacting. You're not going to go, oh!
Oh, right, right.
My back.
Yeah. Which reminder to come back to our neighbors in the hotel in a second.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah. So she doesn't make a lot of noise is what I heard. And then we started hooking up. And when I say she was just staring me in the eyes, just absolutely silent. It was fucking crazy. And I couldn't believe it. And I was like,
did you feel uncomfortable?
Honestly, I'm glad that she said something. Obviously, this is something that she's had in the past, because I would have been
she's
like, are
notes.
You? Yeah, I would have been like, are you? And like, I feel
what was
strange.
Her face like?
She was actually like really like happy, like just kind of like looking at me. I mean, I hate to say this, but like, in a, this makes me sound weird, but like this girl really was into me. And
toot toot.
I know, but
I mean, I get it. Look at you.
And
your eyes closed, but listen.
And then I was like, whoa, that's fucking crazy. And it was like, no matter what I did, just complete.
You were trying to pull out all the stops?
Yeah. And then
did
like,
you go lick her butthole just to see?
No, but afterwards.
She screams.
Maybe I should have, yeah. Afterwards, she was like, oh, that was so great. Like, you know, da da da. But then I was like, oh, there's
something wrong with
fucking
this.
Wrong. And she went on to be a mortician. She's a mortician now.
So there is something wrong. That's a crazy. Although I would love to interview a mortician. Yeah. But yeah, that it's so funny that I've heard this story before.
Yeah.
But only now did I have this moment where I was like, oh, that's like when I feel like I've bombed at a show and a bunch of people come up and they go, oh, that was so funny. And it's like, are you just quietly enjoying it?
Yeah.
You fucking, you know what? The one person I've had sex with who was nearly silent, which I have done jokes about in the past on stage, because I would make a joke about how he wouldn't say he was going to come. I would just know he came because he would go from this, you guys can't even see my face, from like a blank face to like just a smile. It's the creepiest thing.
Ew,
also right. Had black hair. I think it's something about the black hair.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
So we had these neighbors at the hotel room next to us while we were out of town, and they were in their 50s, whatever, normal mom, dad kind of couple.
Yeah, I saw them coming in one day. I was like coming from the gym. It was this nice lady. She's like, hey there.
And they were like kind of, they were bigger, you know, I'd say heavier set. Not like obese, but like they were like Midwestern.
Midwestern, classic Midwestern build.
Yeah. Like not watching diets, but also not like having
cake for breakfast.
Yeah, and not having like trouble like getting out of chairs. But
yeah, think of your aunt who lives in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but walking up four flights would
probably
win
crushes
them.
It in their bowling league.
Yeah, exactly. And they were perfectly nice. And
Wyndham, that's why it's called Wyndham.
They were right next to us, and we were getting ready to like just go out, and they were having like a mid-morning sesh,
crazy sex,
and she was like screaming, oh fuck, oh fuck.
Yeah, I was like, that's that old lady.
Yeah, I know. It was,
oh yeah, yeah, she, oh fuck.
Yeah, was like, it was insane,
dude. That guy's laying the pipe.
And if we, yeah, no, and good for them for like still getting after it to that level. But if we hadn't seen them before, you would think like this is a
hot young couple.
Hot, like athletic
or
couple.
A man has hired a prostitute.
Yeah, and it's like they're like freaky and like, you know what I mean? But then like, yeah,
you
they
just
were
see
just
him
like,
in there, and I was like, she's just dressed like an older lady.
Oh yeah, I mean, she was probably sponsored by Ann Taylor or
yeah,
whatever.
A blouse, yeah.
Yeah, like she
just brooches.
Yeah, I mean, this guy had never bought anything that wasn't at the Gap probably.
Yeah,
you know, it was just like so funny. Like they were probably there for his like accounting conference.
Oh, I was like, oh, maybe it was their anniversary. Maybe
or maybe
like,
yeah,
yeah,
just
maybe it's like the one time a year. You know, they say that like that's what
no,
happens
but I'm
when
just
you get
saying
older
that like
married.
Yeah, they're probably just like a regular ass. Like I'm not like these people weren't on OnlyFans, although maybe nowadays like maybe they were.
Well, maybe they are. Maybe they
but
go
I'm
to
saying
different
the
hotels.
The
people
performance
like older.
Was like
a
that's porn a level performance where
yeah.
It was like it was fucking crazy. She's like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, smack
yeah,
me.
It was like so much so that at first I was like, that can't possibly be what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and it sure was.
Like I was like, is that a boat in the harbor?
Yeah. All right, I'll take one more question, then I gotta go.
Shut the fuck up. Someone asked, will you be watching Super Bowl somewhere else because of my incessant chattering? But lucky for you, I'm flying back on the 9th, so you're probably fine.
Oh, great question, by the way. And it is incessant and...
You love it. The thing that you love most?
In... She needs to learn when it's not... Here's the... Can I go back to the question of what I hate the most. I know that wasn't the question, but whatever it was. She has a terrible time with TV shows, documentaries, anything that has a storyline where they propose. Here's how stories work. It proposes a question, and then it answers that question in a dramatic fashion. It is a formula meant to keep you watching. You are supposed to ask in your head, why is this the way that this is? And then it answers the question. That is how it is. It's a setup and a punch in so many ways for storylines. And Jessica, no matter what we're watching, cannot not ask that question out loud. And when it's something where it's like, you don't really know who this guy is or like what he does, it's like, she'll be like, well, wait, what does he do? And I'm like, they will answer that question if you let the story play out. You're supposed to be wondering right now. And that's what keeps people hooked in television. And she's like, well, what is this? And I'm like, and then sure enough, maybe within the next 10 minutes, they solve that part of the story. It's just how story structure is. And she knows that. But when she's watching something, she cannot move past it and not talk through that.
Here's what I would maybe argue is that some of these things are dragging out stories too long. Cut to the chase.
Yeah, they're not going to give you a summary. It would be 5-minute episodes.
Yeah, like, well, that's what I want.
She's looking for the cliff notes at all times. It's like, just let this play out. There's going
to
be drama.
I don't have an inside my head voice. It has to come out of my mouth or it's...
Do you see that? It has to. Sure doesn't.
It does. Otherwise, it doesn't. This is like my filter processing. So I understand what
my
question is.
You know what I started doing, though? I've gotten so used to it. It used to frustrate me. I used to be like, I pause it and I go, if you just let it play. But you know what I started doing?
Tuning me out?
I hear it. But what I do is I just don't say anything now. And I just keep watching. And guess what happens? She starts watching again and she just goes away. She moves on. I've learned that I actually don't.
You don't have to answer that. You never had to answer the question. I didn't still ask it.
I'm sorry. When someone asks me a question, I try to answer it. But what I've realized is that, I actually don't. And she'll just move on and she doesn't bring it up and she's not mad or anything. But that's what I do. I just sit in silence now. And eventually
I'm just asking at the TV.
Asking at the TV.
It's not any different than you yelling at the television when the Steelers fuck up. Why is it any different than me going, well, what does he do?
No.
This is my Steelers.
I'm watching something that is not scripted. I'm watching something that is live action, and I don't ask a question. I give commentary.
I would argue that the people who make these productions would probably be so thrilled to know that someone is so invested in finding out that out loud they're going, well, what's this guy's deal?
Okay, she doesn't just say, what's this guy's deal? Then she tries to answer it out loud in the time. What's this guy's deal? Oh, he's a fucking idiot. That's what it is. He's a fucking moron. That's what he's going to do.
It's that way problem solve.
Meanwhile, it's like they're introducing the person who is probably the hero of the story, someone who has had like really unfortunate. That's happened so many times where it's
I think that's the bad. I think everyone's the bad guy. Well, yeah, and I think what we should know in life is, I trust nobody.
I'm watching a documentary and it's like, oh, this guy has a really heartwarming story and like everyone's fucked him over. And he's like, and then she's like, oh, who's this guy? Yeah, that guy's a real piece of shit, I could tell. And they're like, and his parents died in a fiery car accident.
Well, he probably did it.
Yeah, see?
It's never what we think. I'm never right, by the way.
Yeah, no shit, because there's a fucking twist all the time too. And you're trying to solve the puzzle before you have all the information.
Yeah. That's how puzzles work.
Unbelievable.
You uncover the information. Well, on that note, someone did want to ask, what's your take on dating a comedian? And they said, any unexpected challenges or benefits to
That's the biggest one right there.
Is that I'm always chattering?
Yeah, it's that you're like, you're always trying to predict stuff. And also that there can be, as much as I love that side of her, sometimes it needs to be turned off, especially when she has a late night set and she does really well and she comes home and she's all jacked up.
We have different hours.
And I have to be like, okay, it's time to wind down now. We got to go to bed.
He holds me down.
I do not hold her down.
He's like, you got to reel it in. And I'm like, I got to fly, baby. I got to soar.
Yeah, see, I'm just tired.
And he has to get up at 6 a.m. And I'm like, but... do you think birds hit turbulence?
Yeah.
benefits?
Is that the last question?
Are there any topics you consider off limits? And if so, how do we broach the topic? I guess they're asking in terms of things like I can talk about it with our relationship.
Off limits? I mean,
everyone said, like, not everyone. It's easy to say no until something, you like to not realize something would be off limits. I don't even know what it would be, but.
Not really, because
I don't
I mean, that's like part of, I guess, I don't know, dating a comedian is that stuff's not really off limits. But I also don't really have a lot of like off limits stuff. Like I'm actually a pretty like, I don't know, vanilla kind of, I don't have some.
He doesn't mind that I make a joke calling him Make It Rain Man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have this like.
He did when I tried to explain our differences and I referred to you as having OCD. You were like, don't call it OCD.
That's just because I don't have OCD, number one. And number two, I think in society right now, people are giving labels on everything. Like, oh, I have OCD. I have this. It's like no.
But don't you think for the sake of brevity in a bit, it's easier to just go, you guys will get what I mean. Someone with OCD will go,
I just hate that. Yeah, because people with OCD actually
are suffering.
Have, yeah, and it's like not everything has to have like some diagnosis now. It's like people can just be neat. People can just be, you could just be scared sometimes. You don't have an anxiety disorder. You could be neat and not have OCD. You can be sad sometimes and not be depressed.
Yeah.
Like it's like not everything has a mental diagnosis. That's a bigger thing that I just think right now people are really there's really a lot of buzzwords in the zeitgeist. Actually,
everybody wants to have a mental illness, yeah, and actually, wear it like it's a fucking badge of honor.
Yeah. So,
and let me tell you, as someone with mental illness, it's not.
And that's why I said that. I was like, I don't have OCD, and that's like not disrespect. Like, it's just like it minimizes people who really do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it paints the wrong picture. I think someone could be you could say neat freak. I probably am a neat freak. I like things really orderly.
It's a freak, but it's really organized. So nothing's off limits. Is there any joke I've ever done that you're like, like you're not gonna tell me not to do it, but you're like,
No, I don't think so. Yeah, because I don't have any like secrets. I'm not like.
Yeah, he's not a fucking.
Yeah, like.
I'm not like, we go to sex dungeons.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She doesn't like tie me up and like peg me with a 10-foot dildo or whatever. And
do
I,
you
like,
want me to?
No.
I was just checking. I mean, yeah, you know, maybe that's tucked in somewhere, no pun intended.
Yeah, I don't have like some weird secret where I have her fart in my mouth on Friday night.
I got one in the can right now.
Yeah, so nothing. Yeah, I mean, I could see maybe even in that where maybe some people would be like, yeah, please don't talk about our sex life or something, but like, or I don't know, or even just like us in general, but I everything's pretty like,
yeah, there's nothing
surface level. I would say that we have a very relatable relationship to everyone else in America, and that if you're going to talk about that stuff, it just is what it is. Like, it's just, you're going to talk about it anyway.
I drive you crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the classic.
And I'm perfectly happy at all times.
Yeah, it's the classics. So, no, I don't think anything's like, yeah, I don't think anything's really off.
And are there any unique challenges? This will be the last question. In dating a comedian.
Unique? I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess like the hours and like the travel and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, the hours are tough when like you have a day job. But I also like being at the comedy club when I can. I also work in the business. So I guess that's different if I was like a fucking.
Like just an accountant or something.
Yeah. Like it would probably be a little bit.
More difficult on
more
you?
Difficult, but because I work in the business, it's like.
And you enjoy comedy.
Yeah, and it's like adjacent. I mean, the travel, yeah, some. But I also, you know, we've talked about this, and like, you know, I think it's kind of healthy that people. Because she works from home during the week, you know, so it's like there's. it's almost like our time, like it's not like we both go to an office, so it's like
no.
That's like time away, and it's like, you know, it's just for like a weekend or whatever, but I could see people get, some people are fucking really stressed about it. I don't, there's no way to say this, that the
I love song, it when she leaves.
Yeah, but it's like it's good that we both have time away from
each
other.
We have our own things to do. Yeah, it's healthy.
I think it is healthy. So
and
I think
people can sometimes struggle to take that time if they don't have it, because they feel like, oh, I'm supposed to like be with you, right?
Right. Yeah, but I think it's yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the hours are probably, it's no different than dating like a bartender, though.
Let me ask you this, because it's been 2.5 years. When I'm off the road for an extended amount of time, like right now, because I'm not on the road till February. Do you ever get like, I got to get her back on the road?
I don't actively think that, but I think sometimes you do not remember how much time we spend together. For example, last night I was trying to go to sleep.
Spending time together, quality time and physical touch are two different things. You don't have this conversation when we're trying to wrap up.
And she tried to get all up on me.
I tried to snuggle with him.
Which is hot, and I don't, temperature wise, and I just wanted to go to sleep. It was late.
Someone tell me.
Okay, but
he's
hold on.
He's averse to cuddling.
No, I am in a certain degree, to a certain degree. When it's actually time to go to sleep, I'm not going to sleep in a cuddle. That is fucking...
You were not going to sleep.
I was
going
to sleep.
You were watching a documentary about something or other. I don't know, even remember what it was.
Yeah, see?
You were propped up. I can't remember. And I was enjoying it, and I can't remember.
That's insane. So no,
I probably need to see a neurologist.
But we had just been out of town, staying in a hotel, getting some fresh air out of LA for 10 days straight. We did.
We weren't intertwined that whole time.
Yes, we were. Every waking moment, we were together. We drove everywhere
but
together.
We
ate together. We stayed in a hotel for 10 days straight. And
someone
I was like,
tell me who's wrong
in
this
situation.
She was getting
right up. I'm like, I just want to. And she's like, why don't you ever want to spend time? I'm like,
I didn't say spend time. No, I did not say spend time. I understand that we spent time together. Spending time together and cuddling are not the same thing.
Okay.
You being, they're both equal.
If you had cuddled up on me like on the couch earlier when we were like, that's a different story.
When Noah was here editing our special, special.
I was actively rolling over to fall asleep, and I need a lot of room to fall asleep because I'm doing different shuffles. I'm turning left, right. I need to be able to move freely. And
he's acting like he's whipping in the wind when he's sleeping.
And
someone
all I'm
weighing.
Saying is that it's never enough. We spent 10 days together straight, and still I couldn't just...
Love languages. Quality time and physical touch are two different things.
What? How did we get on that?
I don't
Challenges.
Know.
Challenges. Yeah.
Challenges.
Comedians are needy.
Well, please leave a review and a rating for this podcast. It's audio only, so don't go trying to see us staring each other down on YouTube, although I wish you could have. Moki was very cute. If you haven't left a rating or review and you haven't subscribed, please do that wherever you're listening. And what else do I want to say? Do you want to plug anything?
I would like to plug my new podcast that is upcoming that is called I'm Being Tortured on a Daily Basis.
Can we? And it'll be both of us? Tune in to Hamburgers and Hot Dogs.
No, I don't have anything to plug, but...
I got something for you to plug, huh?
Okay.
See what I have to deal with?
She also sexually harasses me.
It's not sexual harassment. It's love.
I enjoy you guys being fans of hers, and I do realize that I am much more compelling and that you want to just become a fan of me, but I urge you
remain
a fan of her, even regardless of how much I've won you over today. Still remain a fan.
Thank you
to
everyone who just woke up,
you know,
for the end of the podcast. I love you.
Love you too.
I was talking to listeners.
I was talking to the listeners first. I love you guys, and I tolerate her. Goodbye.
All right, you guys. We'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6 ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.